What is going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 216 of Literary Lessons. My hair is down this week, and we got the three amigos back. Jay, Carter, how's it going?
I've been off all week, and I've been bored out of my mind.
Yeah, how's your last little bit of freedom from your job?
I'm actually really excited to get to my new job.
I'm really excited.
Look, I'm mad at him.
Dude, you are the number one hater.
It's not... It's because it wasn't me.
Brother, I would have... If one of my boys hit a hole-in-one, I'm telling you, I'm sprinting down there with them. Okay?
No, dude, the worst part is he shot over the lake and everything, saw it hit the green, and saw it bounce, right? And the way it bounced, we both thought it went off the green on the backside, which is where the tee box for three is. So we drive down, we're looking, cannot find it. And there's a ditch back behind the tee box for three, so I'm looking through it, and I'm like, maybe you just hit it so hard, you know, it just bounced off and, like, went into this ditch, and, you know, we'll just drop. And so he's up, and he's looking, he's like, hey, I think I found it. I'm like, okay, where? He's like, it's in the hole. Like, there's no possible way it is.
No shot.
There's no logical way that's where it is. And so I go and look, and there's a hole. There's a ball in the hole. So I go down to the cart, and, you know, because they have the three holes where you can put, you know, a sleeve of balls. And there's two balls sitting there with an empty hole. I'm like, there's no logical way that's your ball. you have to be pulling a prank. You did not just logically.
Was it the ball that he was using?
All right. Yes! Yes, 100%!
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, the only thing I could say is I think it's a skill issue on your end.
Dude, this is the same guy who last week on his tee shot on 8 he shanked it so hard into, like, the trees, it bounced off the tree, came back, and he caught it.
The golf gods are just... They really speak different.
No, he's...
Angela, I get to follow their rounds on 18 birdies, and I'm telling you, this might be the last person that I was expecting to hit hole-in-one. Like... I see him score a hole-in-one with an eagle, and it's still, like, plus 17 or something, and I'm like...
Oh, dude, we are not good.
How the fuck did this happen? But that's just the way that golf works sometimes. You can have your best days while also having your worst days. It's just how it is. Like,
well, maybe you two have to realize that you're just side characters and this is the protagonist of, like, the golf.
100%. Whatever that you live in.
That's the only way to explain it.
To live his best life. That's what it is.
We may never hit a hole-in-one, but it's okay. Because...
But it's okay, he did.
He did, and that's cool. I mean...
I told him, I swear in like 20 years, if you tell me you faked it, I'm going to say that I knew the entire time.
So to just get this back on track, we are a Pokemon podcast, not a golf podcast.
We could be a golf podcast.
I'm cool to break off. Let's
wait
let's
for the off season.
And, let's go do that instead.
So we have a couple things. I mean, there have been some. There was a regional in Sao Paulo, but I think at this point, it's the regulation F coverage is done. I don't think there's anything more we can add to that. So we kicked off with our regulation G, in format, like tournaments in literary lessons. And we hosted, yesterday a last chance qualifier for our invitation, which is going to take place, next Saturday, April 27th. And so the top 8 players amongst everyone else who earned 25 points or more playing our other rumbles and in our weekly dojos are invited to play in this invitational tournament. But for the last chance qualifier, this is really our first general look at the meta, and certain things, like, you could see that Tornadus, which was usually in the lower part of the top 12 has shot back up to number 3. Makes sense when you're in a format with Kyogre. Amoongus is back up there. Chiyu, a Pokemon that we really haven't seen much of in Regulation F, is now top 12. Of course, we have the Fake Out Brothers, 1 and 2. And then when you get to the bottom, we start to see our first usage of restricted mons. Terapagos being our most used restricted at 6, 5 Calyrex Shadows, and then 4 Coridon as our top 3 used restricted mons. Just going over the tournament real quickly, congratulations to our top 8. Congratulations to one of my best friends in the game, Chris Larkin, for winning the tournament with a team that he built like a day or two before. Using a Coridon Sun team with double Fake Out and double Trick Room modes. We can just dive into this team here. Single Trick Room mode. The main idea of it is one of Coridon's worst matchups is the Calyrex Ice matchup and the Bronzong with Iron Defense, Body Press, Gyro Ball just handles that matchup for you real easily.
Yeah, I'm a Coridon fan myself, and I think that this team is, you know, I mean, the Scarf Fluttermane is definitely a little wacky, but you can get that speed plus your special attack boost, I'm sure, next to the Coridon.
Yes.
And, you know, Bronzong, love me a good Iron Defense Body Press Pokemon, has a really, really great matchup into the Cali Ice overall. You know, being resistant to its Glacial Lances and immune to its high horsepowers. So, yeah, this team is very cool.
I really like the addition of, like, Terrifier on the Bronzong as well. Because, I mean, like, it's the same idea, right? You resist both... you resist Glacial Lance and you're immune to high horsepower, which is, like, what they're trying to hit you with. So, like, you just sit in front of them all day. Plus, then it gives you, like, a Will-O-Wisp immunity. You still resist Rillaboom, but it also, like, what else is it good for? Collision Course is a fighting move, yes. Is that right?
So, Collision Course is a fighting-type move, 100 base power,
that gets doubles in power if it's super effective?
Only 33% boost if it's super effective.
Okay.
This was Chris and I talking through this, and I think, Jay, you'll have a better take on this, seeing that you've played significantly more Coridon than I have. I'm in the mind that I personally believe that Close Combat is a better move just because it's more consistent. Your neutral hit, you're getting more mileage out of your neutral
hits. I ran Close Combat myself. It is. So I find it okay. Just to be, you know... kind of just more consistent, more... like you said. You know, you don't have to be hitting super effective to get the 120 base power on it. You're just always getting it. Mine was on a vested set, so I had U-turn on it as well, so I could switch out if I had the drops.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay. And the drops were the discussion point with it because of the bulk that Coridon has. It is a very bulky Pokemon. And running a Pokemon with all this natural bulk and then dropping your defenses on purpose, it does seem a little counterintuitive. Jay, you mentioned Iron Defense Body Press. Well, boy, do I have a Pokemon for you that we didn't talk about when we initially were going over this. Carnage, in second place, ran the Iron Defense Body Press Zamazenta, which I can just say straight up is a lot better than what I thought this Pokemon was going to be when we first went over restricted mons about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, Zamazenta, I know it got suspected in OU. I don't know if it ended up getting banned.
That was also not the crown form. That was just base form. It is still legal.
It wasn't? Okay.
This Pokemon's really cool. I think Zamazenta has a lot going for it. Between Iron Defense Body Press, Behemoth Bash, and also Wide Guard. You know, this set isn't running the Wide Guard, but it does have that option. And, like...
Wide Guard is one of those moves that starts to pop up a lot in these restricted formats. And I'm surprised we haven't seen it more with, like, the amount of, like, Dazzling Gleams and Icy Winds that have been running around already.
It's just that there's so many, course, like, not good Pokemon who get it.
That is very true.
Yeah.
Like Gouging Fire is running around with like Breaking Swipes. I mean, even here on Carnage teams, you know, you have Breaking Swipe and Snarl on Gouging Fire. You have D-Gleam and Icy Wind on Flutter. I think that's it for like spread moves. But I mean,
and this isn't
in your restricted metas. You have Water Spouts and Origin Pulses coming off from Kyogre's.
Both just... horses, Terrapagos now.
Oh, I did not realize Terrapagos was spread.
Terra Star Storm is
spread. Yeah, so Terra Star Storm.
That's
only when you Terra.
Yeah, which most of the time you're Terra sinking in that thing anyway. So,
yeah, which
yep,
very worth it. But yeah, this is I think the other thing that's really cool seeing like the Fluttermane, the Gyarados, Tinglu all together. Very reminiscent to an extent to the new, like at least stylistically with some of the Pokemon choices, to the New Balance team from the latter part of Regulation C. That was always a really cool team, so it's kind of cool to see that like some of these Pokemon, specifically the Tinglu and the Gyarados that we really weren't seeing too much, we're starting to see again, which is, I think, just super
neat. This is like four of the pieces from the Kutesh Orthworm team here. So
yeah,
pretty tight, pretty sick.
Yeah, we're just going to go over two other teams in our top four just to dive into it. And speaking of the Kyogre, third place Kamikaze Kid with the Scarf Kyogre, like Scarf Tornogre team, with Archaludon, Screams from Grimmsnarl, Rillaboom, and then Sash Chiyu. Again, this is another team where you have the Bleakwind Storm, both of Kyogre's stabs, the Heatwave, and the Snarl. Like, all of these teams are showing how useful Wideguard is going to be in this format. If you have Wideguard, you can really shut down, you can kind of shut down the offense on half the Pokemon on this team.
Mm-hmm.
With good wide guard play. This is our first Kyogre. Jay and we'll get into it when we get to the tier list. I know Jay and I, we were a little weird on Kyogre. I mean, of course, Kamikaze Kid took it to a really great placement. I definitely think it's better than we initially thought. But it's also not the immediate scary S tier threat that it's been for about two decades. So I think we're just adjusting
to this. It's definitely not going to be the click water spout a million times and win the game, you know, anymore. You need to definitely play it with a lot of forethought and skill. And obviously Kamikaze did really well this weekend with it. So congrats to them.
Yeah. And finally, for our top four, XZ Teddy with the Hard Sunroom team. That is a Brute Bonnet, folks.
It's really interesting.
Awesome. I think he gets a defense boost in Sun. I've seen a lot of people when they run the Brute Bonnet, it's like it gets a defense boost now rather than attack.
Very cool. Okay.
So you can use it to try to.
I didn't even know that.
You can use it to try to outbulk certain things. I don't know if this is, you know, that set specifically. But considering you're running Sucker Punch and Pollen Puff, I'd imagine that maybe your defensive stats are higher, and so in Sun you're actually going to get a you know, defensive boost rather than an attack.
Does Brute Bonnet get any recovery of its own?
I don't believe so.
No.
Besides maybe Giga Drain.
Does not.
Or Leech Seed.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go look.
Which would be the same options that Amoongus gets. We do finally see the Wide Guard with Mien Shao, which I personally believe is the best non-restricted Wide Guard Mon. I think Mien Shao is very good with both the horses, because not only does it help you in the mirror match with having the Wide Guard, but it gets like Mien Shao's close combat is a very, very useful tool. Your inner focus close combat means that you're going to be taking out and immediately threatening Incineroars immediately. And if they try to Terra out of that close combat, then you're making your Calyrex Shadow or Calyrex Ice's time a lot easier, because it's probably Terraing into something like a Terra Ghost that now your Glacial Lance hits neutral or your Astral Barrage is super effective. So the Mien Shao, I think that is... it's definitely a tech mon that you should refamiliar, you should become more familiar with. Definite, like, Mian Shao is another, like, standard definition Umbreon Theory mon. We didn't see this thing at all for a year and a half, 2 years, and now I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of it.
Mian Shao is awesome. I've been using it recently, and I am a big fan.
Just going through the rest of the teams, Chupacross Fan, for the top eight, Chupacross Fan ran a hyper-offensivization team with a Torn Ogre package, Regidrago, Amoongus, and Chiyu. Deus Box ran, again, a very hard Trick Room team with Gallade and Blood Moon Ursaluna, along with the Calyrex Ice. City is our first Terapagos, using the Comfy Terapagos Balance team that has been very, very threatening. And our good friend Yano Kan Ian, also running an even harder of hard Sunrooms with the Brute Bonnet, the Torkoal, a Scarf Gambit, Annihilate, and then the Indeedee, Kalii, and Darkfu. Again, congratulations to everyone in our top eight. You have all earned invites to the Invitational next weekend if you haven't earned it already, and we look forward to seeing how well you do against the best players in our community.
Play and regulation. To answer my previous question, Brute Bonnet gets Synthesis.
Oh. Okay, that's interesting.
I don't know if it's good, but it's definitely
interesting. Yeah, its typing doesn't leave a lot of if you're doing play these... for it, so maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, especially on these, like, slow, like, Trick Room teams, I think, trying to Synthesis up. I mean, it is really interesting next to Torkoal, right? Like, I mean, you get two-thirds of your HP back.
About, but it's, I think it's, the thing is with these Trick Room teams is a Synthesis turn, it feels
like a hard turn of Synthesis is a turn you're not doing damage.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, time to dive into what we're truly here for. It is the our official pre-ish format Regulation G single restricted tier list of the restricted mons. We already went and threw the base forms of Calyrex, Dacrozma, and Kyurem, Cosmoen, and Cosmog in the D tier. That is going to be our pretty much our do not use tier.
I think there's a couple others you could throw down there as well.
I agree, we'll get to them. Talk about them.
But yeah, probably.
Just a very brief chat.
I think these Pokemon bring nothing to the conversation. Just going through the tiers. S tier, the best of the best. This might be a small tier. A tier is your really, really powerful Pokemon that you must 100% need to team build for. And also, I think this is also going to be one where these are the mons that are going to be the most interesting to use. B tier is, you can use it. It definitely needs a lot more help, and its matchups into some of the A tiers and S tiers are a bit of a mixed bag. And then C tier is just completely outclassed. Could be fun, not great. To skip ahead a little, an example of a C tier for me, and we can just start here, is Ho-Oh. On paper, it has a clear amulet. It's not the super Incineroar fodder it's been in previous formats, but in practice, the damage output that it has is abysmal.
Yeah, good special wall. Regenerator is a great ability, has good recovery and recover, but, you know, just a bit lackluster, has some really rough weaknesses. In terms of its actual damage output into Pokemon like Incineroar, it's still not going to do a lot. Sacred Fire, strong move, but, you're going to be left lacking in a lot of things.
I think Ho-Oh suffers a lot from this being a single restricted format.
Yes.
I think that when it comes to, like, traditional GS Cup, where you have access to, like, Coridon Ho-Oh, that sounds really cool. Just being able to have, like, your Sun Boost next to Ho-Oh to, like, give you that extra damage on, like, your Sacred Fires, I think is really interesting. But, like, right now, I don't know why you would want to use Ho-Oh other than the fact that it's Ho-Oh.
Yeah, so, like, just look at the offenses. Base 130 offense and base 90 speed. Those were great stats, even, like, 10 years ago. But it's really just gotten to the point with the power creep where Ho-Oh's offensive stats are worse than a lot of base dex Pokemon that we saw in Series A. And when you're giving one restricted and you have all of these other options, again, it's just not doing enough. Now, speaking with Coridon, we can go to, and we can start with the Scarlet and Violet Legendaries. Coridon, I'm a little mixed on where I'm going to put it. It's between two-ish tiers for me. I think it's either like lower A, high B, probably leaning more towards the A tier on this one.
I also think
this I'm A tier on this guy. I think that he has a lot of viable sets right now, whether it be Clear Amulet, Assault Vest, maybe even something like Loaded Dice Scale Shot is something that you could potentially think about.
I've seen it.
But yeah, and its output is really, really great. Terra Fire gives it a lot of, a stab Flare Blitz in the sun, which is really powerful, and good resistance against the fairy typing. And the main thing with this guy is that on top of getting its own sun boost, it gives all the other past Paradox Mons a sun boost as well. So it creates a really sleek pairing with, like, Fluttermane specifically. And the team comps around this are very flexible, very strong, and I've been a big fan of Coridon. Even when it's intimidated, it's still doing tons of damage.
Yeah, I think what's really nice with Coridon is that its ability, not only is it setting up the sun, but while it's in sun, it's getting pretty much like a life orb boost, a 1.33 boost to its attack stat. The 135 speed stat is a little crowded right now. There's a lot of base 135 mons. But again, it's one of those things where, sure, you're going to have the mirror matches where you might be playing speed coin flips, but on the other end, you're going to be outspeeding a vast majority of the metagame. One of those two Pokemon that is in that base 135 is Maridon, which, again, I'm this one I'm actually leaning a little more towards the B tier on than the A tier.
I mostly agree with that. I think Maridon's, like, on its own merits, is like an A tier Pokemon. But the thing with so many of these other Pokemon is the way that they improve the Pokemon around them. And the thing with Maridon is that you are a little bit, like, you have some suspect choices in terms of the future Paradox Pokemon. Your weaknesses are different. While you don't have a 4x weakness to a fairy type Pokemon, you are weak to ground specifically, which is, you know, not great. One of your stabs has direct immunities in Pokemon like Landorus and Groudon. And you know, I think that specifically, like, the future paradoxes, you really don't have a ton to pair around it like you do, I feel like, with Coridon. We were talking about Brute Bonnet earlier on these sun teams, and, you know, Fluttermane. You're kind of left with Bundle and Valiant is even one of the top ones right now. People are talking about Leaf.
Yeah, I'd say... Yeah, so you have, I think, the best partner for it, for Paradox Mons, Bundle. Honestly, Iron Jugulus really works well with it. You get this, you it's a Mon that can do well into the Calorus Shadow with Snarl. You get Tailwind support, and you also have it's a ground immunity that does synergize with the Maridon. I think at the start of it, Jay, when you said it's tougher in single restricted, because the Mons that do well in single restricted are either so self-sufficient that you can just play a Protect the King and they do everything on their own, or they do an amazing job at not only providing to the team offensively, but their abilities make other Pokemon do even better. And like the other Pokemon that work well with the Maridon, they just aren't as impressive as the past Pokemon. I mean, Iron Hands shares that ground weakness. Like, the best future Pokemon you're doubling down on that ground weakness. You're doubling down to struggling against
Groudon. Another big thing with Maridon too is the access to the other terrain setters in the game and slower terrain setters as well. So Rillaboom and Indeedee are running rampant right now. You know, Rillaboom was the highest used Pokemon in the LCQ this weekend, and I know it's been very highly used as well. Indeedee is running around on a lot of these Calyrex teams, either or. And they're both slower than Maridon, so if you lead it, you're going to have your terrain overridden. Or they can just wait for your Maridon to be on the field, switch in their Rillaboom, which resists your Electro Drift, take away your boosts and all that. Sun, there's not as much counterplay to it. There's Rain Dance, Tornadus, there's Kyogre, and there's Terrapagos. You know, there.
And there's Pelipper.
okay. Which,
it's just
the majority just throwing of those this out there, are like, there were... your restricted Pokemon.
Yeah.
And you know, that at that point it's just like, okay, if I'm running into only, you know, three out of the, you know, two restricted Pokemon out of all the other ones here that actually can overwrite what I'm doing, you know, that's not a big deal. But when you're running into Pokemon which can be on every single team, like the Rillabooms and the Indeedees, you know, they're going to be on 40-50% of teams, some of them, you know. It's a little tough to be like, okay, yeah, my Maridon's in a great place here.
Yeah, Rillaboom in, you know, the LCQ this past weekend was at 66% usage.
Yep. Yeah, it's literally one of the most splashable Pokemon. At some point, we're going to be doing the rest of Regulation G tier list, and it's like Rillaboom's going to be an immediate S tier. This is a Pokemon that, in the grand scheme of things, unless you're playing like a Psy-Spam team where you want the Indeedee, or a Hard Trick Room if you want the Indeedee, or Maridon, like a lot of these Pokemon on this list, you should have Rillaboom on the team. One of those is Terrapagos, which has quickly become one of my absolute favorite Pokemon. I love turtles. You could see...
What's she doing?
You can't really.
Oh, you can't? Okay, well, she's out of the frame. In the past, you've seen I have my turtle there, Shock. She is a 22-year-old sassy old woman, and I love her. And through that, I love this Pokemon. This is a mon that everyone thought wasn't going to be as great. The ability only activates once. You only get the Terra Star Storm if you Terra. It turns into a Terra Hog. The thing is, when a Pokemon just does so much and is so good, you don't care if you're sinking your Terra into it. Joe UX9 in his tier list video, he described it as, this is a Mega Pokemon. Terrasilizing is like, you know, just clicking the Mega button. And the stats you get, the damage output you get from it is absolutely unreal. It's an amazing balance mon. If you've played balance in Regulation F, honestly, you can take like the Japan balance team to an or parts of that team, and instead of having the Calm Mind Raging Bolt, this is your Calm Mind Pokemon. And this Calm Mind Pokemon gets a 120 base power, no drawback move that's always that hits neutral, and it's spread damage. And if they Terra, you do super effective damage into them. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really
also what it's
I learned today that this thing is a normal type. I don't know what I thought it was, but I didn't think it was a normal type.
Well, you know, you did say on Lane's podcast that you didn't touch the DLC yet. So yeah, that
not
makes
even
sense.
Close.
Yeah. I think this is the easiest of A tiers. It's going to be something that I'm going to be working on because I love balance comps. I love this Pokemon. It's just a cute little guy as well. It's like clicking everything.
Early format for me, I wasn't as high on it, and I think a lot of people weren't as well because of the way that teams were being formed around it. And a lot of people were saying that once people start getting creative and building, you know, some different teams around this Pokemon, they were thinking it was going to be really good. And recently, it's found this really amazing pairing with Comfey. Which keeps it alive all game long. That thing is a pain in the butt Pokemon. And I think that's
what's also
that
nice.
Terapagos team where you have this reliable healing coming from Comfey and constantly healing you back up to full while you set your calm minds up and you're start clicking Terra Starstorm. It is really, really tough to deal with. And while I, you know, maybe still think it might be a lower A tier Pokemon, I think that it's a very, very, very good option currently, and it's been getting some big results as of late too.
What's nice with the Comfey as well, going back to our Rillaboom discussion, is that the Floral Healing Attack, it heals more HP when you're in the grassy terrain. So this is just another thing where bring your terrain in, knowing how to maximize your restricted Pokemon, using not only just a really good Pokemon in Rillaboom, but saying, okay, there's synergy between these three, and we're going to use a Pokemon that we haven't seen since, like, Series 6 of, like, Sword
Shield.
Just
do it after you click the
Which,
Terra
again,
button.
Is just...
Please don't bring in your Rillaboom and then click
yeah,
Terra.
Yeah, do that. Like, yeah. Remember that you do clear the Terra. So when you Terra with this Pokemon, you do clear both the terrain and the weather. It also only activates on the turn it Terras. So if you switch out and you switch back in, it's not going to get rid of the terrain and weather. If it did activate on switch in, I believe that this would go immediately into S tier. That ability when you Terra will be crazy. But they balance it and made it only once.
Which I think they learned from Zacian. I think this is the simplest way to put it is I think they learned from Zacian's mistake.
This is your definition protect the queen Pokemon anyway, though. It's just a Pokemon who's going to sit on the field all day, click Calm Mind, and then spam Terra Starstorm in your face, and you're going to struggle to deal with it more than likely. So, yeah, I know I have.
So Mewtwo, I think this is the first Pokemon that is going to be. Is this a C tier or a D tier?
I put it in
yeah,
C.
It's D. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's not good. Initially, we were thinking, hey, do we go and do like an unformed tier and then a bad tier? And they're like, no. There's no reason to use Mewtwo. The only thing that's like interesting that Mewtwo can do is Psy Spam stuff.
Does
and,
exist. And even then, it's not very good at that.
Yeah, we have a horse here that does the exact same thing. Another Pokemon that I'm... Lugia is another one I'm on the fence of C or D. It's very bulky. It can honestly do similar combine things as a Terapagos, where you have that built-in multi... where you have the multi-scale. You can bulk up with the combine, and you don't have to sink the Terra in, except your offensive stats are just so much worse, and you don't have the ability to have a base 120 spread move.
I'd put it in
so,
D just because it has so many terrible weaknesses on top of that.
Yeah.
I think I put it in C, so yeah. Again, pretty okay.
This is where the fun is. Kyogre.
I think Kyogre's still very good.
It's definitely good. It's better than what we initially thought. I'm in the low A, high B for
That's
it.
Around where I put it too.
I have it in S, I think, but I also think that like it's just going to be one of the best Pokemon still.
I do not think it's S tier. I
don't
think it's
S
tier anymore.
There's just so many counters to it, and like yeah,
there's
you
two
Terra.
Yeah,
but you know, I just think that there's a lot of options in how to deal with its offensive output. There's a lot of Dragon types in the format. There's a lot of Sunsetters. There's Ogre Pond, there's Raging Bolts who really, you know, take care of that Torn Ogre lead pretty well. A lot of the times you have to run like Serena on this just to stop things like Rillaboom, which at the end of the day you're then giving up your grass type, which could have been a Moongus or Rillaboom for Serena, which is
yeah, but I love Serena, so that's okay.
Yeah, I think one of the more interesting teams, and I think the team that really made me change my mind, Sableye VGC went and he won, I think it was a smaller online tour, and he was using a Kyogre with balance pieces such as like the Rillaboom, the Incineroar, and then he had Frigrath as a anti priority Mon and an anti and as one form of speed control, and then he was also running Cantonian Zapdos with Tailwind and the Rocky Helmet item. And the Cantonian Zapdos, I think, is a very interesting partner for the Kyogre because it does so well into a lot of the counters for Kyogre outside of the Raging Bolt. Like, it does well into the grass types. It does well in specifically into the Ogre Pond forms. You're getting these hurricanes that can never miss when you're in the rain. So I think it's the way to play Kyogre. Like, I think good players are going to use Kyogre. Good players are going to build Kyogre teams that we aren't used to seeing or we haven't really seen in the past. They aren't going to be these super hyper offense teams that we're so used to with it. And like, I wouldn't be shocked if Kyogre takes a regional or like gets a few cuts in a regional. I just don't think it's close to the menace that it's been in VGC for 20-ish years.
Yeah.
I think that right now we're in the like hyper offensive part of the format, which is when I think that it's very good. I do think that give it more time, I do think it will probably come down. But I also think that like what you said is pretty accurate of, you know, the players who are going to play it are going to adapt to make it good.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, like, again, when Jay and I said we think this might be bad, it definitely was a little bit of hyperbole, but it's just not the Mon we're just used to it being, and I think it's that
A-tier is kind of bad for Kyogre standards, to be honest. Like,
it's
typically a shoo-in S-tier Pokemon. You would think that being able to change your typing is like a big deal for it, but I think it kind of falls down into that Maridon like route to where you're really only benefiting yourself with your rain as well. Like, sure, your Tornadus gets, you know, these Bleak Wind Storms, your Urshifu Rapid Strikes can get, you know, improved water moves, your Surging Strikes, you get your Grass-type Pokemon, you know, away from that fire weakness, but I think that there's a lot of counterplay to it, a lot of really strong Pokemon who do really well into it, and, yeah, I don't know. Like, Water Spout and Origin Pulse are really strong moves, but, like, if you have your Water Resists down, you kind of are left doing not so much damage.
Yeah. Every game I've seen Kyogre played, I've been really impressed with it.
That's fair.
I think you all might be undervaluing it, but I also could be overvaluing it. I think it's the simplest way to put it.
I think we have to remove ourselves from like the past with it, and because the past does taint it a little. And that's the same thing with Groudon, because going into this, I thought that there would be about three Pokemon that I think would be S tier. Groudon was one of the three that I thought could be an S tier Mon, and the more I think of it, I think it's closer to just being another
A-tier. I don't even think it's that good.
I don't even think it's that high.
Really?
I think it is weaker than Maridon by a mile. Than Coridon. I think that everything that Coridon is doing is probably just better than it.
The big thing with Groudon for me is that the just ground type offense is always really, really good. There is not a lot of ground type offense. Groudon offers that, along with it being a Pokemon that you can use the Protosynthesis Dragons and not double down on specific fairy weaknesses. So if you're looking for a Sun team that isn't, if you're looking for a Sun Mon that isn't potentially going to drop to the opposing Flutter main, you could go with Groudon. I think that it's always shown to be really good, and it's able to abuse all of the same exact tools as Coridon. I could also see where you guys are coming from. And when you're looking at the results and you're even looking at what we saw in our tournament, Coridon was the more popular Sunsetter. So yeah, my biases aside, I have no issue putting it like high B. I think it's better than Maridon. The ground type
offense is great until you miss your moves.
Correct. That's the other thing. That is the other thing. If you get tilted for when you miss, do not use like this Pokemon.
Your main move here is going to be 85% accurate, and it feels a lot worse than that. You basically need to run Clear Amulet on this thing, which then leaves you a little bit lacking in the special defense department, which is also not great. It has some common like offensive weaknesses as well. It has the lower base speed, does have some good bulk. I've seen some very creative sets like Clear Amulet Bulk Up and things like that, but I think that its specific matchups, its need for that Clear Amulet, and like,
yeah,
its, no, its I'm, missing I'm buying moves it. Is just, it makes it pretty okay, I guess.
Honestly, the next good bit of Pokemon we can bang out real quickly, Rayquaza, C tier. We thought it would be better Dragonite. It's worse Dragonite.
It's Dragonite that requires your restricted slot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your Clear Amulet, and you still are.
And you don't get choice banned anymore.
The Dialga. Yeah, the Dialgas are interesting. I think I will say I'm going to put both of them in C. I do believe that the origin form is better because it does, and I actually think it's better than these two. You get the extra bulk, and you can get the extra damage output from your steel and dragon type moves with that, and then giving another Pokemon like the item spot. Dialga's always been better in double restricted, I feel like, in non-Dynamax formats. There are people who say like there's this telepathy Dialga, Dissect Trick Room plus like Hisuian or Saluna. That's a fun team, but not good enough. Palkia is just worse Dialga. I know the typing is really good with the water and dragon, but if you don't want to, we were just saying hit your moves with Groudon, Palkia has the same exact issue. Carter, I know Giratina is your favorite, so I'm going to hand you the shovel to bury it.
Giratina is my favorite legendary.
Rayquaza is mine.
Giratina is my favorite legendary.
Okay. Jay, I'm
they're unfortunately
the
both pretty bad. If you wanted to make an argument for the levitate, the distortion form, like fine, you could put it at the bottom of C tier, but like they have some really rough weaknesses. They both belong probably in D tier, more than likely.
It's not a good time to be a dragon type for the most part.
Specifically not a good time to be another ghost type.
I was going to say being a ghost type is a lot worse.
Dead in the water to so many things, and like the altered form.
Specifically one.
Yeah.
Specifically one thing. Multiple
things, actually. Like a lot of things. Incineroar. Both the Calyrex forms.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Any of the other dragons that are running around in the format, it's got a really rough matchup. Unfortunately, not good.
Yeah, honestly, like I think Zekrom is probably D. I don't see any reason.
I see some reason. Okay, this one I think it's okay in C.
Okay, talk me through it.
You get Loaded Dice Scale Shot with it. You get Clear Amulet now. It has some half decent stats. It has Dragon Dance. I think it's much, much worse. It's completely outclassed like by Maridon, by Raging Bolt, but it's at least a physical option. It carves out some niche for itself. I don't think it's good at all, but I do want to say I think it's much better than anything that's down in D. So,
yeah. And then Reshiram, I mean, if we're putting Zekrom here, it's the same thing. The Fire Dragon type is cool. We've seen success of defensively Gaucho Fire's done very well having that typing. It has a solid move spread. It's just a situation of it's not bringing a lot to the table. There's no Dynamax. Like it was a lot better when there was Dynamax.
Agreed.
Because you could run these super powerful moves and really threaten Zacian, but Zacian's also not even like the big threat of the format. So you aren't really getting
also like why run this when you can run Gouging Fire right now, like, you know.
Yeah. I think we can honestly group these two together, both of the Q Rems. Q-Rim Black is pretty much restricted form Baxcalibur. You get a significantly higher attack stat. All you're doing is loaded dice scale shot stuff with it and Icicle Spear. So it's, you have that. And Q-Rim White, it's a Blizzard bot that can replace Articuno on the Blizzard
team. I think Q-Rim White can maybe be very low B. In my opinion,
I'll put it, you get
the defense boost in snow, you get blizzard spam, you also get, then on top of that get, it's off of, instead of Articuno's 100 base special attack, this is 170 base special attack.
Very true. That's much
then
different.
You also get dragon type move. Then you also get, you can run against blue flare, I think. Or fusion flare or something it's called.
Fusion,
yeah,
bolt.
It does get fire coverage,
and so you get fire type coverage on top of it. But you normally are going to run like earth power with this, which then gives you an Incineroar answer. I think that Q-Rim White is actually pretty good. I think it's very, very niche and normally has to run on like that snow archetype. I have used Q-Rim Black before. I used a loaded dice set and it was pretty rough.
That sounds so cool.
The team was cool. It had a like, terrible matchup into what I played. I played it in the House Cup 1 week, and I played against Bulk Up, Clear Amulet Groudon with Incineroar.
Ooh, very ooh.
And it was Terra Fire on the Groudon too, so it was like... And Grimmsnarl on top of that, so I just got paralyzed and couldn't do anything. But...
Yeah, that's... I believe that's what we call...
Rough. It was terrible matchups in Grim, but... Yeah, I think I'm okay with putting Q-Rim White at top C, but I would not be surprised to see this thing actually making some decent results.
I could, like, and that's the thing. I think for these three specifically in the high C, I can see a world where
they're playable and they move up.
Personally,
I wouldn't go that far. I could see a world where like they get some day twos.
I think that Q-Rim White brings a lot more to the table than anything in the C tier.
I fully agree so far.
Yes, but I don't think it's at the level of playability of I think that even though it actually has a great match, well, sort of a great matchup, because like that's the other thing. You have to run it on these snow teams, and there's so much weather and weather removal that it's a lot more difficult to keep that snow up than it was at the point that of Regulation F where it was doing well. And on the other end of it as well is we saw Teo win with the snow team, and then immediately after the question was, how many Articunos are we going to see? How high is going to be the highest placing Articuno, and then Carter, in his glorious wisdom, found that Pikachu did better than Articuno the following week. So it has great stats. We know the type of team it can do well. We also know that archetype in a format that had relatively little weather was, in the grand scheme of things, a flash in the pan. And now in a format where there's a lot of like we have weather here. Weather removal here, and we also aren't talking about teams like Torkoal is popping up on teams with Calyrex Shadow. Pelipper has been very common with both Terapagos and like, so I've seen Pelipper with Terapagos, I've seen it with Zacian, like it's popping up a lot there. Teams are going to have soft rain modes, they're going to have soft sun modes, and that just makes everything really difficult for Q-Rim. Moving on to another mon that is probably C tier is Solgaleo.
Gets wide guard.
Again, it does get it's a wide, and honestly, I think we could put the Necrozma with it as well. The issue with Solgaleo is that like the ability, we have Clear Amulet now, so the ability becomes redundant. And when it could max, it could get its HP real big. It can proc a weakness policy, and that's where the offense would come from. Mm-hmm. Now you have to use setup moves. It's a little slow to get going, and I just don't think it brings enough to the table. You have to put a lot into the Pokemon for like very little.
I think this thing is best as an assault fester. And I don't think that its ability is redundant. I think that its ability is actually really good for it because you don't need to run Clear Amulet like the Necrozma Duskmane has to. Like, and that's a big difference between the two, is that one of them, you get to put an assault vest on this thing. You get to put a citrus berry. You get to put a weakness policy if you still want to be a wacko and run Choice Scarf, Terra Stellar, Spectrier next to it like someone else in this party does. It's
I don't know what you're talking about.
It has that flexibility. Do I think it's good? No. Its typing leaves a lot to be desired. Its offenses are not all that fantastic, but I do think that it actually benefits from its ability. It has some really good options to it. You can use this thing if you like it, but it's not going to do you much.
Yeah. I'm going to skip Lunala. I'm also just going to throw Dawnwings,
wherever.
C tier. Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, if you want to run a Psychic Ghost,
you have multiple other options. Multiple.
And literally multiple. And we're going to go over one. I'm going to apologize to Lunala. I said it was mid, or I didn't think it was going to be good. This is actually kind of a good mon. I think it's easily high B.
Which is still kind of mid, but like...
I could even argue it could be a little A. I think the interesting thing... This is another Pokemon where I don't think we've really explored it a lot. Of course, people immediately go to the Wide Guard, Trick Room, Meteor Beam, Photon, Moongeist Beam. This is honestly, with its ability... If you put solid balance pieces around it, you give it the Rillaboom or an Amoongus plus the Incin and so on and so forth. This is another really cool Calm Mind Pokemon. One of the big issues I think Lunala has is that so many people are running Psychic and Ghost type hate because of the horse in the room, that it struggles and like. I was watching Cage's one of his matches yesterday in the Little Root qualifier, and he got himself into a situation where it was his opponent's two normal type Pokemon versus his Power or Meteor Beam Lunala that he now has to wait a turn to hit one. It takes him two turns to attack one Pokemon. And so, like, I feel like it's very weird saying this because a lot of people think Lunala is the Trick Room Pokemon. You are base 97 speed, which means you're faster than Ho-Oh. To just put in perspective how slow Ho-Oh is, that a Trick Room Pokemon is faster than it. You have an amazing bulk. I think for single restricted, the way the format is right now, going with a setup set with Moongeist and then whether it's just another coverage move, a lot of people have been putting like Psyshock on it, something like that. Right? I think that is, it gets, that's, yeah. I
on,
think
like, Terra Fairy Moonblast thing on this thing, and it's like you have some good answers into Dark types. I mean, the good thing with Meteor Beam is that you're able to immediately eliminate Incineroar, and so I don't think that set is going to be going away. But like,
plus, I mean, getting that plus one is also really huge if you do have another like. A damaging attack. Yeah.
But like options like Moonblast. Yeah, but Terrafair like, Moonblast is really good both defensively and offensively for it.
No, you could go Terrafair Moonblast, Calm Mind, Moonblast.
Channel your best Fluttermane impersonation.
Yeah.
Also Fluttermane, you do get Deagling too. Real bulk. What it's worth.
Yeah, and then obviously like on top of all the offensive options, you get it is one of the better Wide Guard users. It works well, but the thing with like Wide Guard and especially with restricted legendaries is that turn that you're clicking Wide Guard, you're not doing anything else.
Correct.
And that is a Pokemon with, I believe Lunala has like 137 base special attack or something even higher potential.
That is correct.
Yep.
Yes. And it's like, I'd much rather be clicking my Meteor Beam or my Moongeist Beam or my Moon Blast off of this thing right now. And so you kind of lose that. But it does double with its support and its offense. I think that this is a Pokemon that when we get into double restricted, it's going to be absolutely outrageous. But
just like it was in Sword and Shield. The thing about Sword and Shield is you got to utilize your base 137 HP stat really well.
And then you could also go Dynamax, Max Rockfall if you already used your Meteor Beam. So and it's a normal types.
Yeah.
But,
So, yeah, to be with you bring up Jeskup, I'll just say it. I wouldn't be shocked if all three of these Pokemon in B right now move to A or S for GS Cup, and all three of them also work together super well. Lunaladon is a known super strong combination. Maraidon plus Groudon.
Yeah, Lunaladon.
Dondon.
Yeah, the Dondon, I think this is going to be a super cool pair.
It's the Dondon.
I hate this. I'm leaving.
No, you can't. You're stuck here with us forever and ever.
I'm pretty sure this is what Purgatory looks like.
I've heard that it looks like an airport.
We're not going to...
You can legitimately just throw those down in D. You're not seeing them be played.
I mean, they get item slots, honestly. At least, so you can run, like, Choice Band.
Yeah, actually, I'm
going to... Dude, I had someone in... It was our first restricted draft league. It's like, hey, we should have, like, Zacian be separate. I'm just like, okay, explain yourself why. He's like, well, I can run Choice Band Zacian.
Like, yeah.
Buddy, you know what Intrepid Sword does, right?
I mean...
Mind you, this was back in Sword and Shield where that is not how that works. You know, that like, why?
You at least now, get, like, that option now. And then, like, on Zamazenta, you can run Grassy Seed. That's kind of cool, right?
You aren't wrong.
Or Banded Body Press, right? Like, that's cool. Come on, guys. No, these are...
I'm going to say it again. I'm pretty sure this is what my Purgatory looks like. is talking about bad Pokemon and trying to justify them.
Yeah. Which is
why
we're just going
to... That's Carter's favorite thing to do. That's normally why I tier list take
it literally is.
Years.
That's not inaccurate.
Yeah, I'm just going to... Just so we can finish the episode talking about good Pokemon and actually giving them time... I'm just throwing Eternatus in C. If you want to play Protect the King, use Terapagos, or, like, honestly, Lunala can kind of play that way. And another Pokemon that can play Protect the King that has been very good as well is Zamazenta with the Iron Defense Body Press. Who would have thought that giving it a move that actually takes advantage of its defense stat, that's a stab move, would be like, you know, it works. I for one didn't say that this actually isn't good.
Yeah, I didn't say that either.
Actually, no, I think you said it was cool and I said
both of our defenses, I still don't think it's like amazing. I think that it definitely has its matchups where it's really good. One of the issues that I've seen with it is that a lot of people were running, especially early format, were running offensive Terra fighting on it to try to boost its body presses, and it still wasn't picking up KOs.
No.
Like, obviously you're running the defensive Terra on it if you're like a decent player, but you need a lot of setup to get there, and it does have some weaknesses that are really exploitable, so yeah.
I think the big thing for Zamazenta, I think it can go with a lot of the B-tier mons restricted, it is, a lot of it is format-based, mashup-based. So if you are expecting Terapagos and, like, Calyrex Ice to be super, super popular, then Zamazenta is the best Pokemon to run because its matchups into those Pokemon, specifically Terapagos, is like phenomenal. Like Terapagos really, really struggles to get through Zamazenta, and depending on the tech moves and the other mons you're running on the Calyrex Ice, that's another tough one. So again, it's a lot better than what I thought. I think it's definitely playable, and actually, I think that we go Lunala. I think it would be like around this area, but it's definitely a legitimately playable restricted, which it wasn't for its debut generation. Now its older sister, where are we putting Zacian? Because again, I'm very mixed on where
Zacian's like going. An easy. A?
I'm caught between low A, high B with this.
I am as well.
It feels very exploitable since you can't just switch it out after it's intimidated and bring it back in. But it does have
it is way worse than what it was.
It has some good partners in like gouging fire to try to boost it. I think that it's specific.
Oh, keep talking.
I think that it needs a specific team around it to be very successful. There is a lot of intimidate in the format with your Incineroars. Mm-hmm. Defensive Terra on this feels weird sometimes. Like I was trying it for a little while with like Stellar Terra next to Gouging Fire, and I think that it fits well on those teams. The main thing with it is that Incineroar is a really, really difficult matchup for it because you have Parting Shot, you have Intimidate, constant cycling, and like honestly, some pretty decent resists in the format to its stabs. The thing is that Terra like Fairy type play rough is really strong on this. It gets some really good coverage with close combat, and Behemoth Blade is still an extremely strong move. I just think that its inability to reset its own attack drops is quite a detriment to it, especially when they took 30 attack off of it.
I think the big thing, or at least the big trend I've seen with this Pokemon, is that it's been used in a soft rain package. You would have this, so using I'm just going through different teams on Lab Mouse, and a lot of the team, like the Zacian teams that have like won tournaments or have placed high, like it's the Zacian, and then you have the Pelipper, Urshifu, and then like your balance pieces around that: Raging Bolt, Incineroar, Rillaboom, Flutterbang, so on and so forth. Where like you're using, say, like your rain mode to lead off, you're leading Pelipper, Urshifu, trying to get rid of that, the Incineroar, and then you're letting Zacian come in the back, and it's able to sweep through as a more late game Pokemon instead of being the immediate pressure setter that we're so used to seeing it as. I think, again, it's one of those Pokemon where we have to change the way we look at it, because a lot of aspects of the Pokemon have changed from generation to generation. I still think it's very good, and if you were not prepared for it, you are really going to struggle. For me, I think, again, it's close to high B because it's one of those Pokemon where you have to put a lot more effort in compared to some of these other Pokemon.
I wouldn't be surprised to start seeing and some now, sword stance sets pop up towards, later in the format that do really well.
Not at all. Yeah, I think that could also be like Sword Stance with Amoongus in the back, being able to set up, redirect, and heal up with the Pollen Puff. And now we are at the horses in the room. We're going to start with Calyrex Ice. I think at the bare minimum, it's the best A tier Pokemon.
I agree.
And we can argue S, but I think, Jay, you kind of changed my mind mentioning it. With the other one, we'll just put it here. But first, let's talk about the Ice Rider. It's fun. It's good being able to be your own speed control, being able to set up with Sword Stance, or just take KOs with Glacial Lance and boost up that way. It is an all-encompassing absolute monster for Pokemon that not only can you use in these Trick Room teams, but I've seen it just as a regular Pokemon on balance with this, with no speed control at all, no trick room. I've seen it on tail room teams, akin to the tail room that we saw the Blood Moon tail room that we saw do really well in the last format. Like, there's a lot of ways you can run this Pokemon. It's actually very, very multidimensional in how you can approach it.
Yeah, while saying that, in terms of the team structure, it can be multidimensional. It's pretty one note in terms of the set that it's going to be running. It is basically forced to run Clear Amulet in order to, deal with the Incineroar combo. You need to basically be running Glacial Lands, High Horsepower, Trick Room, and Protect. And 9 times out of 10, you'll probably end up seeing it on a Trick Room team. It is a bit inflexible in terms of what you can do with it, which is what I think separates it from Shadow Rider. But what it does with that set, it covers all of its potential options incredibly well. It's extremely strong, makes the counterplay against it very difficult. You have to knock off the Clear Amulet with Incineroar to actually get your parting shots and to get your Intimidate drops. And a lot of the times it's very hard to actually get that knockoff into it to begin with. The Ice Psychic typing is a little whatever in terms of defensive play, but you have Terror to get around that, and also just incredibly great defensive stats. So, yeah. I don't think it's S just because of its inflexibility in terms of what it can do, but it just does everything so well that I wouldn't mind putting it in S, but I think that I'm kind of limiting it at high A.
No, I think listening to it, I mean, Carter, what's your take?
You know, I don't know, man. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I think...
I don't think there's, any arguing that, right?
Yeah. No, it is very good. I think at the other end, I do agree with what Jay's saying. Like, there's, about 5 moves you're going to use on this Pokemon, and kind of, 3 of them are set in stone. Really, the question is, are you going to run Swords Dance, or are you going to run Trick Room? That's kind of, the question mark in it. The offensive moves are set. You're always going to have Protect on this thing. And maybe you toss Protect and you run the other 2 supporting moves. So I could see where the teams and the comps that it's on are multidimensional. The mon itself is very linear. You're going to look at it and you might have to look at the team sheet and see what else. What is the rest of the team going to do to get Calyrex into position to do the thing it always does? But at the end of the day, you know what the Calyrex is going to do.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it is, yeah. Calyrex on its face value is very, very one-dimensional. But the one dimension it's attacking from is very good when it gets to do that.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, getting the team to be in a position where it gets to do its thing is the hardest part, but also the most rewarding when it happens.
Yeah. Calyrex Shadow's
stupid. Calyrex Shadow's really invented stupid. It. Then you put it next to Chiyu, and then it does even more damage. And yeah, I think this is stupid.
Okay. It's good. Okay, I am taking the train. I am sidetracking this. I'm sorry. You just jogged my memory. We will get to Calyrex Shadow. Give me a second. I am loading up my Twitter right now, and we are going to have a discussion.
It's okay, guys.
We'll get there. Carter, what the hell?
I want to see the world burn.
We're looking for a new co-host, folks. And now we're back to the show. Jay, I'm sorry.
Chiyu with Fiery Wrath doesn't sound like a good time, but
it does for the Fiery Wrath user.
It does get Heat Wave to begin with, so it's like, what's another slightly weaker spread move with a 30% chance to do something?
I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, man, I really like the idea of pairing Chiyu next to Kyogre, but then you can't click Heat Wave and just do double spread. man, I really wish there was like a dark spread move that Chiyu had access to that'd be really good besides Snarl.
Huh. Snarl is still
Really Fiery good. Wrath. I mean, it is really good, but it's still Fiery Wrath.
Yeah, but like you get to lower special attack, and that's also a very strong secondary effect.
But Jay, so, why yeah, lower special attack disgusting. When I can just, you know, pick up a double KO?
Or flinch.
Disgusting. Yeah, no thanks. yeah. No. We're getting back to like Kalar's Shadow.
Shadow, you get all the speed that you could ever wish for. 222 is your max special and your max speed. And you get so many options with your item choices and move slot choices and Terra choices that it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, at the end of the day, you're always running Astro Barrage plus, like, a Psychic move, but you get the option on your Psychic move if you want to run Psy Shock, if you want to run Psychic, if you want to run Expanding Force on a Psy Spam team. This is, like, Psy Spam Deluxe, baby. You can run Choice Specs, Life Orb, Focus Sash. I've been running Choice Specs Trick Protect on it. Okay, brother? It is awesome. It is awesome. It's so good. It's so cool when you get to you're like, oh, you're a Trick Room team? I'm going to trick my specs onto your Ndidi, and now I can protect to stall out your Trick Room. It's freaking awesome, dog. And you get so many good pairings with it. This is a great, like, Nian Shao partner. But, like, just the options. You can run Terra Fighting Terra Blast if you really feel like it. Like, and it works. It just works. You can run Terra Normal, you can run Terra Fairy, you can run Terra Ghost. Like, whatever you want to do with this thing, you can do it, baby. Just for the steep price of your restricted slot, alright? Like, and it's fine. I'll give $1 million for it, okay? This is the queen of queens.
Yeah, right now, I'm just looking at item stats from the VGC Honolulu Challenge, where Kali Shadow team ran by Wolf Glick won the event. He was using the Focus Sash. Terra Ghost set, which that's the other thing. You can go with the defensive Terra. You can go with the offensive Terra to just make your Astral Barrage go even harder. And the items, like, we had like Specs, Spell Tag, Life Orb, Focus Sash. Like, to an extent, even an item like Clear Amulet could make sense on this Pokemon to stop Snarls. Or, like, a Covert Cloak if you want to be able to Terra and then stop Snarls that way. Like, there's so many things that you can do with it. And, okay, what's the optimal partner for this Pokemon? Everything. You can go with your Psy Spam mode. Like, pretty much you could take the Iron Crown, like, part, like, the Iron Crown team that people were doing well with towards the end of the format, and just swap out Iron Crown for just, you know, a significantly better Psy Spam on. You can throw, like, Wolf ran it with the Rillaboom Urshifu Instant Fire Water Grass and Clefairy. Yeah. Like, you could run it with Tornadus, you could, like, again, Mien Shao, whichever Ogre Pond form you want. Like, literally, it's the most, not only is it the most powerful Pokemon, not only is it the fastest Pokemon in the format, but it's literally the most splashable Pokemon. It can do whatever you want it to do, and it could do it with whatever Pokemon that you want to use as well.
Did we mention for either of the Kalis that if you pick up a KO, the game is just basically over? Like,
oh yeah, no, it's, I think, I for listeners who have not played restricted formats with the horses yet, the ability...
One, congratulations, you're still sane.
Not for long. Two, the As One ability, which cannot be turned off by neutralizing gas or any other ability suppressing attacks or abilities. It allows you to keep the Grim Nay or the Chilling Nay ability of the horse form, the Glacier Inspector, where if you take a KO, you're pretty much getting either a special attack or attack boost, respectively. And you also keep Calyrex base forms a nerve ability where they can't use items. So that Citrus Berry that was going to stop you from getting that, like, turn that was about to turn a 2-hit KO into a 3-hit KO, that's a 2-hit KO because that berry's not activating. The Lum Berry to stop the burn, who's going to eat that? It's such an overpowering Pokemon that, like, this is going to be S tier until it's not S tier. Even with the fact that in the mirror match you might be playing a coin flip game, or if you have, if you're up, if you position yourself poorly against a Pokemon such as Flutterman, you might lose. It doesn't matter. Like the quad ghost slash dark weakness doesn't matter.
Did you know that Specs Helping Hand Astral Barrage two shots Incineroar?
Yep.
Like, easily two shots it.
That's dumb.
No, there are Incineroars running Terra Normal solely to get away from.
I've seen the more Terra Normal since I started playing Calyrex than I've ever seen. I mean, a lot of some Calyrex are even running Terra Normal on them.
That's how you win the mirror, baby.
Or White Guard.
No, this is
also accurate.
And that's also, and again, going into, like, playing the matchups, Calyrex being so omnipresent is one of the reasons why the normal type restricted Pokemon in Terapagos is good, because you can set up in front of the, you can set up in front of it, you can go, and once you Terrasilize, the Terra Star Storm before Terrasilization is only a normal type attack that the Calyrex is immune to, but then once you Terrasilize, now you can hit the Calyrex, and that's, like, honestly, if you're trying to find the Pokemon, like, okay, you don't want to use Calyrex, you want to try to counter team with it, put the time into learn Terapagos, because Terapagos is the best, well, in general, it's the best way to take out Calyrex. And even then, it's still not 100%.
Yeah.
This is relative, outside of, like, the Groudon placement for me, this is relatively in line with where I expected things to fall.
Yeah.
Yep, I just looked at mine, and I definitely changed some of my opinions midway through, but that's okay. We're having fun with it.
It's fine.
I'm curious, because you did... So, I think if I was to really change anything, I'd have Groudon and A.
Mine was Groudon and A, and Rhydon and A as well, but I'm pretty comfortable with that being both and B. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And I know these restricted formats get a bad rap of being centralized. Anything B tier and above, I think, is very, very good.
It's absolutely playable.
Not only is it playable, but you can take any of these to a tournament. You can win with them. I think these are the 10 team types, or teams like Pokemon, you're going to see teams built around that are going to be consistent day two teams. And on the other end, we've mentioned Mianchao, Comfey, like all these, we're just seeing like Bronzong on teams. Brute Bonnet is back from Regulation B. It literally took a year off and then said, oh, I'm back now, boys. I think these formats are so fun. And this is definitely, I feel like, the most opening restricted format has been in terms of, like, generally very, very good team comps. There's, again, 10 Pokemon here that you can choose.
Yeah, I've enjoyed playing the format, and I do think that some of these Cs are also stuff that you can play and have some fun with. I think that some of them are, you know, like, yeah, they're outclassed, yeah, they take very specific archetypes to make work, but some of them actually do work. Like, they are pretty strong Pokemon in their own right, and do have some solid options to work with them. So,
In that same tour that Wolf just won, a Rayquaza team came in 10th. Like, these Cs, if you put the work in, and you, again, takes a little matchup luck going through the tournament, but if you know what you're doing, you could probably make them work as well. That is pretty much where we are at with this. So, Jay, you want to go and get us out of here.
That has been the episode, everyone. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, all that fun YouTube stuff. Make sure you tell us where you would change our tier lists and why we're very stupid for putting certain Pokemon in different places.
Idiot.
Go check out the Twitter at LRLessons. Come join the community Discord where you can get involved, like, with things such as our Litterhood Invitational down the line, and also just come and chat all about Regulation G and all the fun stuff that's going on with that. Make sure you go and check out our Discord supporter links, both our Patreon and our Discord. Shout out to Johnny Bravo Sr. and Papa Switch for your support on Patreon. Shout out to Smeargle for your support over on Discord. With that has been the episode. That has been the tier list. And I will see you all next week.